You know, there's something that I encourage our team with. And how many know we are really, really blessed? I'm just so blessed and honored, humbled and privileged to serve in my position, my function as pastor of this church. You guys are an amazing church. And God's blessed us with an amazing team of ministers. And one of the things that I encourage them with is this. I say, I want us to be a place, I want us to have a culture in our church where you do not have to dream in the dark about what God is forming you to do, about what God is calling you to do, be and become with your life. And so I recognize that one of my chief responsibilities in the function, in the role that God has given me and assigned me for this season, and God works in times and seasons, right? There's seasons to life, right? And in this season, one of my chief responsibilities is helping every one of you discover the destiny that God has for you and to equip you and strengthen you to be prepared to step into it. Ephesians chapter 4 says that my chief responsibility is equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, not that I would just do all the ministry. And so I encourage our team with that principle. I say, I do not want you to have to dream in the dark. I do not want you to feel like if you believe that God's calling you to something, to step out in faith, to go and do something big for God, that you're going to be penalized or punished for thinking beyond your current role or assignment that you're serving this church body in. And I believe that it's one of the reasons that God has blessed this church. And I believe it's one of the reasons that God has allowed us to attract such high-quality people to serve in our staff capacities, because I want them to dream about what God has a new and a next and a more for them. And here's the thing that you also hear me say often, and that's this, that we want to be a church that builds God's kingdom. And I say this all the time. That's about getting the message of the church outside the four walls of the church. If all that we are about is just how many people can we get in one building, we artificially and arbitrarily limit the effect that we can have on our culture. But if we see that we are to be a church that raises up leaders and releases them and sends them into their divine calling, into their God-given destiny, it's exponential what God can do in us and through us as a church family, this church family known as Rev City Church. So I believe it's something that God can bless. I believe it's right. I believe it's godly. But here's the thing is that sometimes things that are godly can also be costly, right? How many of you being obedient to God has ever cost you something? You know, it's cost you something. And I don't know about you, but I don't know that I want to have a form of Christianity that doesn't cost me something. And in this season, that mindset, that philosophy of calling our team to not have to dream in the dark, being a church that raises up and releases us, is going to cost us something. And here's the bottom line. A couple months ago, Pastor Eddie and Beth Diaz came to me and they said, we really believe that the Lord is stirring something in our hearts, that he's preparing us for a new season, a different assignment in a different place with a different people. And there's four P's that I use often when I'm talking with people about transition. And it's purpose, place, people, and provision. Some of you maybe need to write that down. It'll come in handy for you at a different season in your life. Purpose, place, people, and provision. And we began to talk and we began to pray, and they said, we believe the Lord's calling us to a different place, and it's tied to people. One of the key things that God's doing in their heart is calling them to move back closer to family, and especially to Pastor Eddie's mom, to in this season be closer to her, to serve her in this season of her life. Shout out to Mary, Pastor Eddie's mom. Come on, everyone, say hi, Mary. She joins us online. She joins us online every week. And so part of the motivation is a different place to be close to different people. And part of it also, and I'll let Pastor Eddie kind of fill in the gaps on the minutiae of this, is a renewed sense of a purpose that God has for them. That they had kind of closed the door on for a season because of some painful things that they walked through in a previous season, that God is now coming into that place of pain and saying, I'm calling you to once again have faith to step into that season. That Pastor Eddie's believing that there's a place that he's called to begin to preach the word weekly. He's called to lead a team. He's called to rally a congregation, to bring change and transformation to a community by leading and serving a local church, a body of Christ. And so I'm excited for them, but I'm also going to be very excited. How many of you are going to be sad to see Pastor Eddie and Beth transition? How many of you are going to miss them? How many of you, they've made a difference in your life? But at the same time, how many of you could begin to just maybe kind of selflessly, because selfishly we just hang on to them, right? But selflessly, how many of us could also begin to just get excited that God's doing something? That God's doing something. Here's the thing. Amity and I found ourselves in a similar season 8 years ago where the P of our transition was purpose. I had been a praise and worship pastor for 15 years. And the Lord had even spoken through a prophetic word that there was a season coming where I was called. God, this was a word that was spoken over me publicly, that there was a season coming where I was to hang up my guitar. How many of you knew I play guitar and I used to sing a little bit and I was a worship leader, and God said, you're going to hang up your guitar, you're going to pick up the Bible, and you're going to begin to preach the word of God. 8 years ago, we began to have the same sense that they're having, that Pastor Eddie and Beth are having, the sense that that season was approaching for us. And in faith, we went and we began to share this. And before we knew where we were going to go, we didn't know about Lawrence, Kansas. We didn't know it was so wonderful. We didn't know that the people were so handsome and beautiful and smart and intelligent and kind and considerate. We didn't know any of that. And we stepped out in faith, not knowing where we were going to go. And they find themselves in the same season, being obedient to God's word, but not knowing exactly where they're going to go. How many know that's what God called Abraham to? And on the other side, we're going to get to look back and celebrate his faithfulness, him moving, him connecting, him providing, him opening doors, him protecting and directing Pastor Eddie and Beth like only he can. So here's the thing. I'm about to welcome Pastor Eddie. He's got a message that he's going to bring, and it's going to impact your life. It's going to encourage you with how to walk in the seasons of life that God has for you. But before I welcome him to preach, I want us to pray for them and agree with them. And I want to ask them to stand. Would you put your hands together for Pastor Eddie and Beth right here? Man. They've been here serving this church family for almost 6 years, but they've been a part of Amity and I's life for over 20 years. Some of you might not know that, so this is going to be costly for us. And I want to just say thank you. Thank you for saying yes to be here for these last 6 years and serving this family so well. I say it often, the pathway to the new and the next and the more of God is faithfulness with the now of God. They've been faithful with the assignment to serve this church family. I mean, really, how many of you you've experienced, just your life has been impacted. Your life of faith is better off because of something they've said, something they've modeled, the way they've encouraged or counseled you. And so in light of that, can we extend our hands towards them? And would you allow me to lead us? And would you, right where you sit, begin to just pray? Let's partner with God and let's pray that God would be their source of protection and provision and direction in this season of a changing season and a new assignment. And Lord, that's our heart. We thank you for this man and woman of God. We thank you for this brother and sister in Christ. We thank you for the way they've impacted our lives through the things they've ministered, through the things they've shared, through the way they've modeled how it looks to follow Christ in marriage and in family, how they've shown us the way, Lord, to grow as disciples in many ways, Lord. And so we thank you for that, God. And now, Lord, in this season where they're sensing a new season, a new assignment, God, that's going to cause them to have to step out in faith and trust you, Lord, we come alongside them and we pray, Lord, right now in this moment, Lord, would you make a way? Lord, we thank you right now that you're even preparing. Lord, you know the place, you know the people, and that you're preparing them to be the answer to the prayer of that precious group of people, Lord, that are looking for leadership and looking and trusting that you're going to bring someone to help bring fresh faith to their church family and to the vision for their church, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you would connect them to it, Lord, and you would expedite it, God. We pray, Lord, that there would be, Lord, just a hastening, a quickening, God, of the things that need to take place behind the scenes, Lord, as they're answering you in faith. They don't know what it's going to look like. They don't know where it's going to go, but that's pleasing to you, God. And so we just say, Lord, we thank you for being their source of protection and provision and direction, especially in this season. We thank you, Lord, that we'll look back and we'll celebrate, Lord, how this is an extension of our spiritual influence because they're part of our spiritual family. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to move mightily in their lives. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to honor the faith that they're stepping out in, Lord. Help us as a church family. Lord, we know, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to just support them well through prayer and faith, Lord, while we also just anticipate, Lord, the grieving that the recalibration of our relationship is going to look like, Lord, as we're not around them as close in physical proximity, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that they're going to be an extension of this spiritual family, Lord, and we thank you're going to connect them to everything that you have, that what you're stirring in their heart is from you and of you, God. In Jesus' name, and all God's precious people said, amen. Hey, put your hands together one more time and welcome Pastor Eddie to the pulpit as he prepares to share the word. Open your heart to receive what God wants to speak in your life.
What's happening? How you guys doing? Good? Awesome. I'm doing pretty good as well. And I want you to do me a favor real quick. Look to the person on your right and on your left and tell them we're about to enter a new season. Awesome, awesome. All right. I didn't just say to discuss lunch plans. Be quiet. I'm going to talk now. I want to pray for us. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have each and every week to come together as a church family, to praise and worship you, to hear your word. And I pray, Lord God, that the word would be a good seed sown in fertile soil that would bear fruit in this season for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome, awesome. excited about this message, and it's a message that Beth and I are real-time walking through, and I hope that it'll minister to you. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." And, you know, we serve a God of seasons. And God created the four seasons that are based upon the rotation of the earth as it orbits the sun. And the seasons change as the earth moves, and the sun in our planetary system remains constant. And everything else revolves around it. And I want to submit to you that that is a prophetic picture of our lives. Much like the earth is in constant motion, so are our lives. Most of your lives are in constant motion around you. And despite all the movement that's going on around you, we too have the Son of God who is constant, never changing, always there. So in every season, we can revolve around him. Think about it. Life is always changing. Your life is changing. My life is changing. We enter and exit many seasons over our lifetime. Aren't you glad to know that you have the Son, Jesus, to remain constant for you today and every day, always and forever? See, while we serve a God of seasons, God doesn't necessarily measure our seasons with clocks and calendars. He measures them through the truth and the revelation of the word that he gives to you and I. Whenever you receive truth and revelation from God, you begin to step into a new season. Let me give you examples of what that would look like. You're having a quiet time. You're in your home. You're in that room, in that place that you like to read the word of God and listen to God, and you're there, and you've read a scripture on that particular day that it's a scripture that you've read hundreds of times. But on that day, that word becomes alive to you, and it speaks differently to you than it ever has before. Guess what? You've just entered into a new season. Or maybe you're in church on a Sunday morning one day, and you're listening to a sermon message. It's an awesome sermon message, like today. It's awesome. It's just awesome. And you're listening to this awesome sermon message, and then the Lord begins to speak to you, and it seems like you're the only one in the room, and the message is coming right at you. You've entered into a new season, or you're about to enter into a new season. Or you're sitting across from somebody, a friend, or somebody that you trust. Maybe it's a pastor, and they begin to speak to you prophetically. And as they begin to speak a prophetic word to you, it unlocks something in your life, inside of your spirit, and it changes you, and you realize, oh my gosh, I'm entering into a new season. And that's what happened to Beth and I. When Pastor Richard was here at the end of last year, he preached the message recalibrate. And if you were here, that word, I'm sure, ministered to you tremendously, like it ministered to everybody. And there was parts of the message that Beth and I knew he was specifically speaking to us. And later that evening, he came over to our house for some coffee and just a visit. And he said, you know, I spoke that message. He goes, yes, it was for the church. But he goes, there was parts of that message that were specifically for you and Beth. And we said, yeah, we know. And he said, Eddie, you're called to lead a church again. He said, there was a hurt that you experienced in your other life in a former church. And you've buried it. And he said, I'll never do that again. And God comes today to say, you're going to do that again. And I can't explain to you in that moment what happened. It was literally like God just came in and opened something in my heart. And it gave me an encouragement. It was an energy. And now I still had to spend the next couple of days going back to a place that I didn't want to go to, where there was some hurt that had been done to Beth and I, and go through that process. And God was faithful to heal us and to restore us and to encourage us, and then to begin to initiate a process that we were going through right now. And we met with Pastor Thomas and Amity and the elders and the rest of the staff this week even, and just shared with them a little bit of what God is doing. But here's the thing. For everything, there is a season. Every aspect of our lives is seasonal. You know, and the purpose of the season is always to get you to the greater that God has planned for you. When you're going through a season, understand God's trying to get you to a greater place in him. There are reasons for some of the seasons you've gone through, reasons that you might not fully comprehend why you had to go through them. We've all gone through those things, and we're going through them right now, or we're about to go through those seasons. And it could be a job change. Your job, you lose a job, you gain a job. It could be a relocation. You moved here, you're moving somewhere else, you're relocating. It could be a relationship that's maybe just now starting, or maybe it's a relationship that God is saying it has to end. The bottom line is it's a different season for you. Some of the reasons will be good, and some of the reasons will feel bad. Yet even in the bad, that doesn't mean God's finished with you. It just means that God still has a purpose and a plan for you. And we know as believers that for those that love God, all things work together for the good, even those who are called according to his purposes. So there are reasons that we go through different seasons. Then there are also a process that takes you into a new season, a process that maybe you weren't planning on. Maybe you didn't want to go through it. But again, the purpose is always to get you to the greater that God has planned for you. It's through the reasons, it's through the processes that you're able to learn and to grow from and grow through into the more of God. You see, the reasons and the processes are always God's way of drawing you in to grow and learn in a way that you wouldn't have learned if you hadn't gone through the process. Philippians 1:6, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. It's not just any work. It's a good work that you're going to go through. The good work is in the process in every season. So today I want to look at three different principles to understand what, when you're stepping into a new season, what it may look like. And I'm going to use Peter, the Apostle Peter, as the example. And the first one, if you're taking notes there, is new changes. Stepping into a new season brings new changes. You see, change is going to happen. It's inevitable. All you have to do is look at the world around you and know that things are much different than they were 10 years ago. They're much different than they were yesterday, for that matter. But during those times, it's good to remember we serve a God of seasons, and he is in every one of your seasons. Kind of like the seasons on a calendar, each season is different from the other. In some seasons, we're planting. It's a planting season for us. We're sowing seed towards something. In other seasons, it's kind of that waiting season where you're actually having to tend to what you've planted. Then there is a season of growth where you're growing in that season and you're watching those things grow in your life. And then there's a season of harvest. But I want to focus just for a moment here on the planting season. John chapter 12 says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You see, in a planting season, we have to allow some things to die. Yet in God's economy, we're actually being set up for a resurrection, for that thing to produce a lot of fruit. But here's what it looks like for me sometimes. I give something to God, and I said, "God, this is yours, and I'm going to plant this. I'm going to lay it right there for you, God, and you do what you got to do." It's right there, God. It's right there. It's right here. You can grab that. It's right there. Just do what you got. It's right there. "Well, God, if you're not going to do anything with it, I'm going to just pick it back up." And God says, "No, Eddie, plant it and let it die. Because when it dies, then God can resurrect it and it will bear much fruit." See, another unique thing about spiritual seasons is there are times when the days seem longer in certain seasons. Usually the good times, the seasons are longer. And let me tell you, the season that we've had here for the last 5.5, almost 6 years now has been good season for us. Good time. Where God's been able to bless us and to prosper us. We were united with Pastor Thomas and Amity. I was reminded in between services. I said one time at a new member's lunch, we were like a bad infection they can't seem to get rid of. You know what I'm saying? It's a really spiritual talk. But it's been a good, good season. And the daytimes are longer and it's just enjoyable. It's an enjoyable season. But then there are other seasons that are like night seasons. And they seem longer too. And you're kind of crying out to God, God, get me out of this. I don't like this season. You ever been there? Sometimes it seems your days, those mountaintop experiences with God, last a long time. I mean, you're hearing God clearly. You're growing by leaps and bounds. Then those nighttime seasons come and you wonder if it's going to ever end. You wonder if you can even hear God anymore. It's those long seasons when the tears seem like they never stop flowing from your eyes. And I want to remind you that even in those long night seasons, God is right there. Psalm 35 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. It might take in a little longer in those seasons than others, but the morning is coming. And the tears will cease, and the joy will return back to your spirit. And by the way, morning doesn't mean like the daylight, the physical light. It has to do with, spiritual mornings have to do with God's light coming into your circumstance, coming into your situation, and illuminating the things that need to change in the process to take you to that new season. When Pastor Richard sat across from us and he told me what he told me, and by the way, it started out with a correction because Pastor Richard likes to correct me. I'm like his big little brother, and he just kind of, you know, knocks me around every now and then in a good way. And he so brought some correction into my life. And then he began to speak prophetically and light came in. And it illuminated in me the dark places that I didn't want to go to because it still hurt. And God said, but I need to get in there to heal that because I got a different plan for you now. And you're going to enter into a new season. But I can't take you to the new season until I heal the things right now. And that's what he did. And that's what he's doing. Do you remember when you were a kid and you look forward to the summertime? Yes? Well, you come on, you got to be with me here for a second, okay? Man, I was one of those kids. And so the only thing I had that I wanted to worry about when it was summertime was where I'm going to get dirty and when the lamp light was going to come on, because that means I had to get home or I was going to be in trouble, right? You remember that? Some of you as old as me? When the light's on, got to go home, got to go. But you didn't worry about anything else in the summertime. But then the season changed. And all of a sudden, you were at the store with mom and you were getting new clothes. And then all of a sudden, you were at another store and you were getting new supplies that you were going to need for the new grade that you're going on to. And then all of a sudden, when you got to school, you weren't going to the same classroom. You had graduated to another classroom. And now you're going to learn some new things that you had not learned before. That's what spiritual seasons are. It's where God is able to come into your life and he's able to say, you know, listen, we're going to go into a new season now. And so come here, I'm going to give you some new clothes to put on. Those clothes that you wore in the last season, they won't work in this season. We got to change some clothes. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to equip you with some new things, some new supplies that you're going to need in this season. You know, it's going to come from God's word, but he's going to supply you with the things that you need for the new season that you're entering into. Oh, and by the way, it's not going to look like what it looked like last season. You're graduated and you're growing to another level. And so God changes these things in these seasons, and it's always to get you to the greater of God. So let's look at Peter. In one season, Peter was just an ordinary fisherman doing what he'd always done. He's fishing. Then Jesus came walking by and Peter entered into a new season where his whole world changed. Matthew 4, in verse 18, it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea for they were fishermen. And as he said to, and he said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Jesus said, follow me. It's a new season, and I will make you into someone else. So Peter entered in the new season over the course of three and a half years. He was transformed. He was transformed into somebody that others might consider a nobody, you know, just a fisherman, into a somebody, a disciple of Christ, and an apostle that would help to change the world with the other disciples. Jesus didn't just change his vocation. He transformed Peter and the other disciples into someone that they weren't before. It wasn't just an outward change, but an inward change that took place. And look at the scripture said, and I want you to notice these words, I will make you into someone else. And the Greek translation for those words holds this meaning and can be translated as such. This is the meaning of I will make you. To shoot forth. To prepare. To produce. And to acquire. In essence, what Jesus was saying to Peter, Peter, I'm going to prepare you so that you will produce the necessary fruit and acquire the necessary tools that I can appoint you to the new season that you're going to be stepping into. So let me make a declaration over you real quick. It's a good declaration. A declaration over your life. There is a miracle in each and every one of you. Online, there's a miracle in you. God wants to birth this miracle through you. And so when Jesus comes to you and says, follow me, he's taking you to that new season, and he will make you, he will prepare you, he will produce in you, and you will acquire the things that you need so that God can appoint you where he wants you to be in the new season. And in that season, that miracle is going to happen, and you shoot forth into all that God has for you. Look at your person next to you and say, I'm going to go into a new season. So new seasons bring changes. They bring changes. Number two, in the new season, you're going to have new challenges. Stepping into this new season is going to bring a new challenge in and of itself. Listen, Jesus walked by Peter, and he tells him the three words, come, follow me. Peter gets out of the boat. He drops his net. He does just that. And then all of a sudden, change begins to happen. And little did he know that he was going to encounter change on a whole new level. A lot of changes, and I want to touch on just four of the changes he went through. The first one is changing his faith. Because at one point, Jesus came, walked by him, and said, drop your nets, follow me. The next time he told him to get out of the boat, he was asking him to step out on the water. Change was happening, and his faith was having to rise up to a whole nother level. He stepped out on the boat into a storm to walk on the water. Matthew 14 describes it this way. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come on. Come. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and he came to Jesus. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went, not knowing where he was going. He just stepped out in faith because he heard God. And he wanted to obey. And I told the service, the first service people, I said, listen, we're believing that we're going to be moving in the spring, you know, when the first leaves begin to get on the trees. But if something happens between now and then and we're not moving, get your guest room ready. We might be calling you, okay? Just prepare yourself. We might need a place to couch surf a little bit. But we got to step out in faith. Even if we don't know, we're trusting God. The change is coming, right? Another place he was challenged with his feelings. Imagine this. 1 minute, Peter's proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the next instance, Jesus is rebuking him and calling him Satan. That'll hurt your feelings. He was challenging his humility. Jesus was challenged when Jesus lowered, Peter was challenged when Jesus lowered himself to the point of a servant to wash Peter's feet. And Peter said, No. Far be it from you to wash my feet, Lord. And then Jesus responded, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And Peter was like, okay, then wash all of me. But he had to humble himself and say, listen, you let Jesus do what Jesus is going to do in your life. You submit to the authority that was put in your life and allow what God's doing to happen. In almost every instance, Peter stepped up to the challenge that he was facing. And I say almost every instance because there was one particular time when it seems as if Peter not only stepped in to the worst season, that night season that seems to last forever, but also to a season of disappointment, where he went from a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, to one who followed at a distance. And then at one point outright rejected Jesus 3 times that he even knew him. And we've all experienced disappointment seasons where we step into this season where it seems like it's all, you know, for lack of a better word, it's all going to hell in a handbasket. It's just a tough season. Seasons where you feel dry, you feel empty. And despite the best efforts, you feel like you can't even hear the Lord. You've let him down. You begin to believe that you're a complete disappointment to God. And in those times, you're still trying to follow Jesus, but perhaps, maybe, you're just kind of following him at a distance. It's in those seasons of disappointment that we have to go back and remember there's a purpose in every season. You see, there's no failure in Jesus Christ. He just stamps your paper, hey, let's do that over. What Peter didn't know, what many of us don't realize today, is that Jesus' love is greater than any disappointment you can ever experience. And let me park on the word disappointment for just a second here. The prefix is dis in front of the word appointment. And dis is a negative word, and it has a reversing force to it. So it's the disappointment is a dis trying to reverse the appointment that's been given to you. It's a disappointment. And the appoint word, the point means to position, to an office, to designate, to determine authority or agreement, and to fix or to set something. So let me put these two together again. Here's the thing. The enemy is going to operate in our lives to try to bring disappointment again, to reverse the appointment. Jesus comes to appoint. He comes to assign each and every one of you in this room and online to a position, to designate to you an authority. And when you're disappointed about meeting a challenge, Jesus is there in grace and mercy to remind you that despite anything that the enemy tries to bring into your life, God's love is far greater than that thing, and that Jesus has appointed you to live a victorious life in every season. Which leads me to the final principle: change, challenge, and new victories. Stepping into a new season is an opportunity to birth new victories. Jesus had the disciples, they were gathered in the upper room to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. And the disciples prayed, Holy Spirit came, and he consumed the whole area with a rushing wind and tongues of fire. It was a powerful moment. And then in Acts chapter 2, Peter stepped into the new season, and in that season, he caught the largest amount of fish he had ever caught in his entire life. 3,000 souls were saved in the name of Jesus Christ. We're about to step into a new season. And just like Peter was transformed from a fisherman to a powerhouse for Jesus, you have to believe that God has the same for you. 1 John 5 says this, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." God transforms us by his power. And God is calling you to step into a new season and walk by faith in the victory that he has for you. A season of power, a season of prosperity, where the Lord is going to open up his good treasure and bless you, where you're not going to lend, you're going to lend rather not to borrow, where you're the head and where you're not the tail, where you're above and no longer beneath. I've come to tell you this morning that some of you have been in a difficult season. And what I want to believe is today that season is ending. That the day is coming. And I want to declare to you to step into that new season. Stand up with me if you would, please. Just by a show of hands, if you have been experiencing a tough season, would you put your hand up with me, please? Look at that, all around the room. Now, I want you to keep your hand up. Don't put it down yet. Don't put it down yet. But I want you to do this. I want you to close your eyes. Keep your hand up, but close your eyes. And just as an act of faith, I want you to kind of make a grabbing motion with your hand in the air and just grab the vision. God, I'm grabbing the victory. I'm reaching for you, Lord God. I'm reaching for the victory that you have for me. See yourself as you're standing there with your hand clenching, as someone who is overcoming all the power of the enemy that's coming against you and your family. Seize that victory. Now, if you raise your hand, I want you to do me one more favor. I want you to come forward to the front here. Just take I want you to take a physical step of faith. I want you to come right to the front. We'll make room. Just come on up to the front. A lot of people raise their hands. Just come right to the front. And the reason I'm asking you to do that, because I think there's something about taking a physical step of faith that God really just, it just blesses God. It honors him. Because you're not coming up here because I'm telling you to come up here. You're coming up here because you're taking that step of faith. And if we can't get up here, we can stand in the aisles. It's okay, don't matter. The point is you got up. If you're at home, if you can't get up, if you can't move, raise your hand. But if you can't get up, I want you to step in front of your television or in front of your computer or in front of your iPhone. Man. So I want to begin to declare, I want to prophesy over you some declarations that the Lord gave me this week, okay? And if any of them hits you, you know what I'm saying, you just grab a hold of it, all right? If you have felt like you've been being held under, like you're drowning, you're being held under, the Lord comes to tell you today, now you're going to go over. You're crossing over into that new season. If you felt forgotten by God, God, where are you? If you felt forgotten at any moment, God comes today to tell you he remembers you. He knows you. He loves you with an everlasting love, an unfailing love. He is right now beginning to draw you back to himself. If you felt depressed or oppressed of the enemy, God comes today to give you a fresh garment, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Here's the thing about a garment, you have to put it on and begin to praise him with your mouth that God has taken you to a new season. Some of you up here and you feel rejected. You felt rejection in your life, and today I want you to know that God says that you are accepted. Jesus accepts you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will be with you always. You can't get away from him. Some of you have been battling shame. You've made some mistakes, and you're struggling with this shame. And Jesus comes not only to remove the shame, but to lift your head. To lift up your head and say, get your eyes off of what you've done and begin to look at me again. Because God will never bring you to shame. He wants to restore you and to heal you. Some of you are battling grief. You're struggling with grief, and God comes to heal you today, to bring you the oil of joy for mourning. Some of you have felt poor in spirit. You're struggling and saying, God, I'm broken and I'm lost. And God says in this season, you're going to say, I'm rich in the Lord, because his presence is going to become very real to you. He's going to be present with you. As you seek him, as you draw near to him, God's going to draw near to you in this season at a different level. And finally, those of you who are afflicted physically, spiritually, emotionally, God says in this season, you're going to walk in healing again. He's going to bring wholeness to you, to your mind, to your heart. And I believe some of you are going to experience physical healing in this season. God comes to send his word to heal you today. Receive God's word. There's a new season coming. Father, thank you that in everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Thank you, Lord God, that we're about to enter into a new season, and let it start today. We receive it and we believe it. In Jesus' name.
Just stay right there in that posture of receiving. I don't want to belabor the point, but I just feel like there's just one more layer of ministry that the Lord wants to do to really cause for there to be a shifting into some new seasons. And just big picture, by the way, this is a great concept for us as the people of God to really embrace that God's a God of seasons. He's a God of seasons. I'm just grateful that we live in Northeast Kansas now, where we actually get to experience four seasons. We came from South Texas, where there were just two seasons, hot and slightly less hot. And so it's been cool to get to experience those seasons. But how many know sometimes, I appreciate what Pastor Eddie said, that there's a season that's coming to an end, but how many know sometimes seasons kind of shift and they ebb and flow? You know what I'm talking about. Like, we get that first cold front in September, and you think fall is here. You can smell the Christmas in the air. It just smells like football, and it's just a good feeling, right? And then, like, in October, second summer hits, and it's 189 degrees for, like, the rest of, you know, and you're like, where's fall, you know? And so we have to learn how to, like, navigate seasons and how to understand that sometimes seasons overlap. You can be in a good season in your finances and a difficult season in your marriage, or vice versa, right? And so let's embrace that this is more than just a one-time message. This is something we ought to hang on to, hold on to, that God's a God of seasons. And so here's what I want to say, I want to encourage, is that I really do believe that today God wants to shift seasons, and that there's some of us here today that you need to understand this is encouraging, because you felt like you have a sentence from God. And it's not a sentence from God, it's a season from God. And it really is going to shift and it's going to change. And here's another way to say it that I just felt the Lord just drop in my heart as Pastor Eddie was preaching, that for some of us, we've allowed for a season to become a cycle. And so here's how you would be encouraged by this. You went through a difficult season in your marriage that really was just supposed to be a season, but the enemy's caused it to become a cycle. Now you're in a cycle of perpetual spiritual winter, or strife, or doubt, or fear, or whatever it is. And so we're gonna worship. I wanna speak this over you, and I just wanna pray that right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, because of just how good he is to us, he's helping us just to see some things a little bit differently, so that we can step out of a season and into a season. And right now, just say, if you're caught in a cycle of strife or fear or worry or anxiety because of maybe a real season that you went through, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just break off that cycle where you're just caught in that perpetual winter. And how many know right now we can kind of relate to that a little bit? I mean, who's ready for spring maybe more than ever, you know, after all the cold and the snow and the ice and the sludge and the dirt and everything else that goes along with that? And I'm telling you right now, God's right now, by his Spirit, because he's so good, he's just breaking you out of a cycle, and he's helping you be encouraged. That was hard, that was painful, but it was a season. Let the season accomplish what God intended for it to accomplish, to kill the bugs, to kill the weeds, to prepare the soil for a season of fruitfulness, for a spiritual spring, which is new seeds coming to new life and fresh growth and new things coming to pass in your life. Would you receive that today? Would you receive that today?
You know, I was reminded this morning, I woke up with my grandmother on my heart. And how many of you have someone in your life, maybe the matriarch of the family, that is a constant in your family? You know, for my grandma, she would always make the Thanksgiving meal, and there was just those recipes that, you know, grandma would make year after year, and they were just comforting. How many of you have a grandma or or mom that just has those things that, man, you just know, I've just had that the last 20, 30, 50, 60 years, and it just warms my heart. It's constant. And then you got that crazy Uncle Phil that tries to change the recipe one year and tries to fry the turkey instead, and it's not the same, right? Well, I was reminded just of that comfort, that deep comfort, that pales in comparison to the analogy of our Heavenly Father, of how that tradition or meal or recipe just brings just that constant comfort to our heart in that season. And I'm just reminded of how that's how our Heavenly Father is. You know, young people, I just was drawn over just to this group of young men just standing here, especially young people. You guys are going through rapid changes. Pastor Eddie said earlier, like 10 years ago, things are different yesterday. Y'all are making up new phrases every single week, it feels like. But God's constant. He's not going anywhere. He's going to stay right by your side. No matter how much you push him away, no matter how much you try to hold him at arm's length, he's going to chase after you, and he's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you go. And I can promise you, in our life, in our marriage, with our family, with our health, with our challenges, we've walked through some stuff, guys. And let me tell you, in the middle, when you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know what that next step's going to look like, and you have the report or you see the thing and it's right in front of you, can I tell you, in that moment, I can look back on those moments and I can tell you, he was faithful. He's going to see through. That scripture in Philippians that Pastor Eddie spoke about, that he will bring it about to completion. Do you know there's a Message translation that says he will bring it to a flourishing finish? Can I just pray that over you today? Whatever season you're stepping into, out of, can I just pray that he's going to bring a flourishing finish to that as he brings you to that next? God, I just lift up my brothers and my sisters, my mamas and my daddies in the room. God, I just thank you for what you're doing in this moment. God, I thank you just that we're lingering here, that we're pressing in, that we're just taking the space to be open to what you want to do in our lives, God. We submit, we surrender, we let go, we choose to trust, we choose to know that you are constant and you're good and you're faithful, and you will bring to completion that which you began, in Jesus' name. And God, I ask that faith would be stirred, hope would be stirred. God, I thank you that you know the end of the story, and we can trust that you're writing a good one, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on, let's stay right where you are. Let's worship, and then we'll come and dismiss you here in a moment. Stay right where you were. Just feel free to just linger right here. Just receive as God's just stirring faith for a new season, a new chapter. He's writing your story. Let him keep writing your story.
I see it again and again. You love and I've witnessed it. You heal and I've witnessed it. You save and I've witnessed it. And I'm confident.